The Story Factor Podcast, episode number 5. Does your bio suck?
Welcome to the Story Factor Podcast with Annette Simmons.
Story is the oldest form of influence in human history.
Annette is the author of The Story Factor, Territorial Games, and Whoever Tells the Best Story Wins.
When you stimulate human emotions with a story, you point those emotions in a certain direction.
Now Annette is here to help you inspire, influence, and persuade through the art of storytelling.
No one will complain if you substitute a story for a PowerPoint slide.
Notice I'm not using PowerPoint and there's no handouts. My goal is that this actually be valuable enough that you remember.
And now your host, she once rode a horse that actually appeared in the Australian movie Snowy River. Here's Annette Simmons.
Hi, this is Annette Simmons, Story Factor Podcast. Here we are with Michael Margolis, and Michael has a company called Get Storied. You can find him on GetStoried.com. What did you learn in designing and delivering this About Me, the new About Me workshop?
Well, a few things. I mean, number one is really got my thumb on the pulse that this is one of the biggest existential and career development issues that every single professional faces in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's huge.
You know, and you're not taught it in school. You're not taught it in, you know, career development classes and workshops. There's a little bit of it in the world of personal branding, but let's be honest, for most of us, the stuff we've come across around personal branding is kind of icky. Mm-hmm. And it feels really forced. Mm-hmm. Because the language is a very mechanistic language. Mm-hmm. What's really empowering is when you look at it through the lens of story, you start to realize how much you actually are. How much you have influence over articulating and shaping your own destiny by the way in which you think of your story. And as you said, repeat, you know, like you're like, oh, I want to take the course again, because we grow and evolve so much that every 6 months or every couple years, we have to reinterpret our own story from this new vantage point.
Right.
The things that I learned through this is that not only is there an incredible unmet need out there, and it's kind of like the hidden secret that when people like really think about it, they go, oh my God, I didn't even realize. Is my bio working for me? Is it hurting me?
Oh crap.
Geez. Like, yeah.
Like I said, there's a lot of anxiety.
Yes. The other thing that I learned through this, though, was I saw transformation. I mean, we've had hundreds of people go through this program, and we've done some evaluations of participants, and those who talk about their transformation has been when they realize that, you know, it's kind of this fundamental principle where, you know, we go through life and there's all these twists and turns, and especially for, you know, a Renaissance woman like yourself, right, or a Renaissance man like me, mm-hmm, Annette, or any of the Renaissance people who are watching this, right? Like, we all feel like we're like, yeah, I'm this and I'm that. I'm a podcaster. I'm an author. I'm a consultant. I'm a DJ. I'm a publisher. Like, we get to put on all these different hats, and we get a little schizophrenic in that process. Mm-hmm. And what happens when people go through this is the power that comes from all those twists and turns, and when you find the overarching thread, right, or an arc of your story, it's like this organizing pattern.
Yeah.
It's like you find the codex to the Rubik's Cube, and suddenly everything kind of falls into its proper place. And it's when that happens, you go from this place of like infinite possibility, but I'm drowning in it, mm-hmm, to a sense of coherence
and grounding. I think,
yes,
you know, the transformational aspect of story is something that is hard to talk about when somebody hadn't experienced it. But when I think everybody can talk about, you know, their About Me page, their bio, when it all comes together, there's an incredible power of identity. I mean, we talk about, yes, that in psychology, and the sense that, oh, I know who I am. And it's a visceral, physiological sort of, yeah, thing. I mean, I get goosebumps. There are, you know, some people may actually, you know, feel sensitive of balance all of a sudden.
Yes.
It's physical. It really is.
Yes. Well, that's the thing that I call natural authority. And when you tell the story of natural authority, it's the undeniable story. It's the story of who you were born to be. something happens. I've noticed this as I've coached people around their stories as well. When they tap into that language, and we can talk about like what to where to find it, right? Where do you find that natural authority story? Mm-hmm. But what happens when people start speaking from that place, they light up like a Christmas tree, Annette.
Yes, absolutely. Right?
I call it the language of activation. Because literally, they like somebody comes to life.
I think that's why our work is so rewarding.
Yes.
It's just, and you know, I was just talking to Karen Dietz, and she was talking about the joy and business storytelling. If you've lost the joy, and I think it's when you stop looking for that aha experience with your stories, then that's when you start to lose the magic.
Yeah. And what I find, you know, we talked about this issue of like mental dispersion, like knowing the self. Yeah. So one of the challenges, it's not only for your own sake, but one of the greatest gifts as a storyteller you can give to your audience is to let them know where you're coming from, is to be transparent about your motivations or your point of view. Because when the audience knows that, they can actually let go. They can sit back and go on the journey with you.
Well, you're giving them a gift of sense making for at least one piece of their environment where you have just showed up, and now they feel like they can make sense of you.
Exactly.
And if it resonates with authenticity, it's much less likely to feel cynical or questioning about it. It is very relaxing when someone feels like they know you.
We've all become very cynical and suspicious of all the messages that come at us all the time.
Or you can't believe anything, you know, on the internet, right?
Yeah, and all these relationships, everybody wants to be our friend. Can I really be friends with 5,000 people?
Oh, and how about everybody endorsing you on LinkedIn?
Exactly, right? Like, you don't even know me, but you're gonna endorse me on these five topics that actually, it's so funny, those endorsements, because I have like 100% endorsements on stuff that I'm like, really? Like,
I didn't know I did that.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I didn't. That's definitely not how I would tell the story or put in front. But we're digressing. The thing about motivation, right? So like, one of the things I often, whenever I speak to an audience or I'm teaching, I am very quick to tell my own origin story, and my own origin story, you know, plays out a few different fold. You know, my father is an inventor. My mother is a teacher, artist, and toy designer. So I grew up in a world of infinite possibility.
Right.
You know, and I learned, you know, I never knew growing up, though, whether my day was going to be a science experiment or an art project. Right. That was my problem. Okay. Which was a really gifted childhood. But the shadow side of it was, you know, I grew up all around the world. I grew up in Europe as a kid for the first 10 years, and then went to West LA, California. And both of my parents, the creative geniuses that they are, they're kind of black sheep. They're kind of, you know, very iconoclastic in their own world. So they never taught me how to fit in or belong anywhere.
Right.
So my experience very early in childhood and adolescence was, you don't see what I see?
Right.
Really?
Being the
you don't
outsider.
See this? Yeah, and exactly, of being the fish out of water and feeling so lost in translation, and that experience of culture shock, going from one place to the next where, you know, in Switzerland, we were the crazy Americans, you know, and we had some good friends, but we were the crazy Americans, let me tell you.
I'm sure in a very special way, yes.
Oh, yeah, we were endearing to them, but we were always definitely, we knew we were the outsiders. And then, you know, imagine Swiss Lederhosen boy showing up in West LA, California, 1986 surfer skater culture.
All right.
I'm still recovering. So all of those experiences really had a profound effect on me. And as I became an entrepreneur, I became fascinated with this process of how do you take anything that's new and different and translate it into cultural acceptance? How do you get others to see what you see? Because that's the eternal question. Every innovator, every change maker, every marker, every entrepreneur, every artist, right? That's the core question.
For me, that we've talked about it before, is that it's the role of the heretic. Somebody who sees a new truth and stays loyal both to the new truth and the organization or society that they're in. And so, you know, those of us who are drawn to storytelling are the ones who are trying to sell an idea or get people to see something that's true. And the whole about me is, I guess, earning the right to tell that story.
and doing it in a way that is safe, both for the teller and the receiver. Because that's the piece that, you know, when we talked earlier about social media and like too much information, oversharing, forced intimacy, part of this is, and it's interesting, I was talking to another good buddy of mine who I think you know as well now, Bo Eason, right? Who's a phenomenal storyteller and teacher. And one of the things that we were talking about in some of his workshops, because he does an incredible set of workshops around personal storytelling, finding your personal power. But one of the things that we forget about this work is that when we're doing this work of storytelling, we are giving people TNT. Right? And what I mean by that is literally they can blow some shit up with this stuff.
Yeah, it's scary stuff. You're right. It's
you know, and people, they
lose
sight.
And we have to be responsible with that. We have to be really responsible, because I used to run self-awareness workshops, and that was like TNT at a really dangerous level. And going back to what we started with is the ethics. It really does create dissonance and disruption in somebody's life when they, you know, do this process. So let's close with just an idea about how people progress through this process so that they can come have a look at it, do that for themselves.
Yeah, well, I think one of the most important things I would really encourage people to take a look at is your own story of origin, right? So I talk about this in the course. It's called Superhero Origins. So we often forget that there are a few superheroes that are born superheroes, right? So think about, you know, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman. They weren't born superheroes. What happened was through circumstances and the choices that they made in the face of those circumstances, they discovered. There's often a huge loss or a huge wound or tragedy, right? That then allowed them to discover their gift.
Right.
And so that's a huge thing that we all have to do for ourselves, is to look at our own origin story so that you understand for yourself what your motivations are. Mm-hmm. Because when you can then provide that backstory to your audience, not only, number one, the alignment and coherence that happens to self is phenomenal. Right. It's off the charts. This natural authority comes through. But then also your audience can actually see you and hear you, because they go, wow, yeah, that's real, man. I get it. Like, that was a tragedy or a huge pain. And that is why you're motivated to solve this riddle. Mm-hmm. So to think about, what is the riddle you're trying to solve, or what are you most curious about, I find is one of the most powerful organizing principles that you can use as an invitation into relationship to bring people into your story, even if you don't know the ending. You don't need to know, well, Michael, I just went through a job career transition and I'm kind of reinventing. I don't know what the answer is yet. Just talk about your line of inquiry. What are you most curious about?
It's about the question. So what is your life created in terms of the question that you ask of the world, or the way you say it is the riddle.
Exactly.
So that's first. And then how do you help people form that into an about me?
Yeah. Well, so there's seven steps for the anatomy of a bio as a story. You know, a couple things I'll point to real quick. I don't know if we have time to go through all seven, but the first one is what I call who, what, who. Like you have to actually articulate who you are, what you do, and who you serve. You have to lead with relevance. So what often happens when people, you know, like first start taking the course and they discover the power of story, it's the TNT. They go, great, I'm going to tell the world my story. And so, you know, they start their bio at like, in the beginning, when I was 2 years old.
I did that once about 10 years ago. And it was and it was in a group where we were all sharing our story, and everybody was supposed to just say what they did. And I started, well, I was born in Shreveport, Louisiana. Yeah, embarrassing. Go ahead.
Well, no, sometimes, occasionally it makes sense to lead early with something that's a very formative thing. But on a whole, what you need to think about is you need to lead with something of relevance. Mm-hmm. You need to basically let the reader know, is there something here for them? So talk about who you are, what you do, who you serve, mm-hmm. right? So people go, oh, wow, yeah, this person has an interesting profession, and wow, they work with people like me, or they work with the kinds of companies like me in these situations. So you have to establish relevance out of the gate.
Okay.
Right? And then from there, you want to then articulate your point of view. And point of view is, what's your unique take on the subject? So, you know, because there's 1,000 designers out there, million, frankly. There's a million lawyers. There are, frankly, thousands of storytelling practitioners, right? So you got to think about, again, it kind of goes back to like, what's that ultimate question? What's your line of inquiry? Mm-hmm. One of the questions that we ask in the course to help people get to that is, within your line, like your field or your industry or your sector, what do you think is missing from the conversation? Mm. What's the thing that really matters to you that you think people tend to ignore or overlook? Own that, because that's something that resonates for you. It's what you're willing to fight for. So there's a whole process on articulating your point of view. And then once you have your point of view—
not yeah. appearing critical, because you know that's yes. a real hard part about it.
I would love, hopefully at some other time we can have a follow-up conversation, Annette, where we can talk about—
We're going to have lots of follow-up
conversations. We can talk about, I would love that. One of the things I would love to explore with you, because it's something I spend a lot of time thinking about, is at the end of the day, people want to hear a story that makes them feel good.
Exactly.
And we forget this, yeah. especially yeah. if we have a truth to deliver. Yeah. How do you tell that truth and still let people feel good? And this has been one of my biggest areas of focus, in a very tantric, spiritual way. There's a way that you can reframe a story in a way that attracts more than repels. And you have to really be aware of those emotions.
My favorite role model is John Steinbeck. I mean, mm-hmm. he would talk about the darkest, nastiest, ugliest truths along with, you know, but at the end of it, you were still glad to be alive.
Yes.
Except for the story of the pearl. I never was happy about that. But the grapes of wrath, oh my mm-hmm. God, it felt like I had just connected with, you know, the earth and humanity, and that's
humanity.
Yeah, that is the trick to talk about a new truth, and they're always disturbing. I mean, we are, you know, comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable.
Yeah, and what we're speaking to, what I find in it shows up in people's bios. It also shows up in a lot of the rhetoric and marketing materials for many companies in terms of their marketing materials, and especially in the social change nonprofit activist world, mm-hmm. which is the predominant frames are frames of judgment,
yeah.
of self-righteousness.
Yeah. yeah.
Or of self-congratulations, of self-validation.
Yeah.
There's some really weird, funky things that are going yeah. on unconsciously to the patterns of our language and story that is the core reason why we repel more than attract the people we're trying to reach.
And the way I've been dealing with it in the past is that I talk to people about the story they tell themselves about their clients. And
yes.
particularly with nonprofit, that, you know, that really exposes that, you know, I actually believe they don't care, and my job is to make them care. Well, if you believe they don't care, then you think, you know, they're a particular kind of person, and they're going to get that. They're going to receive it, no matter how you frame your story. Well, I'm just really excited, and I want everybody to go and have a look at Michael's website. It's getstory.com, and the name of the course is The New About Me. And you will be happy that you looked at it. And I highly recommend it. It's something I've done and I'm going to do again.
Oh, thanks, Annette.
Yeah.
It is always, it's more than a pleasure catching up with you. You just such a joy and inspiration to spend time together. And I'm grateful that you're doing this podcast series now, because, girlfriend, you got some story mojo and wisdom to be dropping on the world. So I'm grateful to be in the playpen with you.
Well, I'm excited about everything that I'm learning, and I just feel like I'm behind, and this is how I'm going to catch up, and everybody gets the chance to share, because may as well not waste it with these great conversations.
Annette, you just have been early to the party, that's all. So it's the rest of us who are catching up with you.
Well, you're a sweetie. I love you.
Right back at you.
Yeah. So we will talk again.
Okay.
And this has been the Story Factor podcast. Thanks for being with us, Michael.
My pleasure. Take care, everyone.
All right. And let's continue our conversation. You can record your message on our Story Factor podcast feedback line at 318-479-1077. If you are interested in talking about how you might run your own storytelling training, or if you want to talk about how I could help you with that, I would love to talk with you on the phone. You can call me at 318-861-9220 or send me an email at Annette@AnnetteSimmons.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Annette Simmons, and I hope you'll come back to join us next week on the Story Factor podcast.